Lani Kwala on 702.
For the curious.
Live.
Online.
Streaming on 702.co.za.
DSTV.
And 92.7.
And 106 FM.
6 minutes after 12. Good afternoon to you. It is a Monday. It is the 12th of November, 2018. And you're listening to the Lani Kwala show here on 702 and Cape Talk. We're coming to you live from our Johannesburg studios, and we're keeping you in touch with your world as it happens. Well, talking of what is happening in your world at this moment, I see that the former Public Enterprises Minister, Barbara Hogan, is testifying at the Commission of Inquiry into State Capture. A highly anticipated testimony that, and we will be talking to our Clement Manyathela, is monitoring that. A couple of things came through. Much earlier on, the chairperson of the commission, Judge Zondo, started off by warning the media about publicizing some of the statements that are yet to be presented to the commission. So I'll ask Clement a little bit about that, but also news that Zuma's lawyers have decided not to be involved still. Remember that the commission asked them to put in a statement or give an affidavit or something in response to what's been going on there, and that some of the witnesses are implicating former President Jacob Zuma, but it appears as if his lawyers have again decided not to send any document, not to respond in any of the allegations that are made against Jacob Zuma. So we'll hear that from our Clement Manyathela, who's monitoring the testimony. Again, if you have been monitoring and something came up, you picked something up and you thought, wait a minute, let's discuss this, all of us. You can send me a call, you can send me a text message, or you can give me a quick call on 011-883-0702-021-446-0567. I like hearing your voices through WhatsApp. Send me a quick voice note, 072-702-1702. It's 7.5 minutes now after 12.
702. 12 to 1.
There's also this other story, an interesting finding by the Competition Commission. It happened on Friday. So on Friday, the Competition Commission filed a report with the Competition Tribunal, right, in relation to, well, in which it found that the South African Broadcasting Corporation, the SABC, and MultiChoice implemented a merger transaction without notifying the commission, and they have contravened a particular Competition Act in doing this. This, of course, is in relation to a matter that's been going on for a very long time. It's called the Commercial and Master Channel Distribution Agreement between the SABC and MultiChoice. This issue has been discussed in different platforms, different fora, and it turns out this was completely unexpected. The Competition Commission saying that the two, actually, what they did was a merger, and that they should have notified, and that they should still notify. It's a notifiable merger that they conducted, the two of them. So what are the implications of all of this? We will talk both to the Competition Commission, but also perhaps get analysis on this from regulators or people who understand the regulatory environment. And I've got a statement that MultiChoice has sent through in response to this, and I'll read that statement for you coming up shortly, 9 after 12.
The Kolani Kwala Show.
And also, before I go to Clement, a very interesting story. So Vodacom today has been talking its numbers. They've been giving out their results, but a number of stories coming out of that. And one of the stories that came through from that is that in the 6 months to the end of September, right, Vodacom's average data prices were down 16.4%. That's what they told shareholders this morning. They say their data prices fell much faster than its price for voice calls, which showed an 8.5% decrease. I suppose if you're a Vodacom subscriber, have you seen this in your pocket, this decrease in the data prices? It fell on average 16.4%, according to what Vodacom has told the shareholders this morning. But as a subscriber, have you felt it? Have you felt that decrease? Give me a call. Let me know on 011-883-0702. It's 10 after 12.
The Kolani Kwala Show.
The Kolani Kwala Show.
On 702.
A whole lot of other stories that we'll cover for you in the next 50 minutes or so. But let's start, of course, with the Commission of Inquiry into State Capture, where the former Public Enterprises Minister, Barbara Hogan, is on the stand. But a couple of things have already been discussed there. And we're on the line now to our Clement Manyathela. Clement, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, XG.
So we'll get to what Barbara Hogan is telling the commission in a moment. I just wanted to start by talking about some of the issues that the deputy chief himself raised earlier on. There was a warning to the media. What is this warning about, Clement?
All right. So what the Deputy Chief Justice started this commission with was, of course, you know, another warning to the media not to publish, you know, contents of leaked statements that have been submitted to this commission. I mean, he released a statement we know last week, but he was reiterating that point today. He took a considerable amount of time speaking about the need for the media to respect the work of the commission and be patient and not rush through to publish some of the statements that may not have already been investigated by the commission. I mean, we know what happened with Minister Pravin Gordhan, the statement, even Barbara Hogan. We already know what she will be saying today, even what Pravin Gordhan will be saying later this week because of the statements that were leaked. So the Deputy Chief Justice was essentially calling on the media to be patient and respect the work of the commission and make sure that they do not publish statements that have been submitted and haven't been ventilated on or found expression in an open process of the State Capture Commission.
Sure, and I'll take views on that, Clement. People can send me voice notes on 0727021700. What do you think about these leakages? I mean, surely these are calculated leakages. They are meant to do something in society and change society's thinking around some of these statements. Anyway, let's move and talk about another revelation that came through. Zuma's lawyers, I believe, will not be giving a version, even though the postponement of Barbara Hogan's testimony, the postponement of Pravin Gordhan's testimony was to give Zuma's lawyers enough time to formulate a view on this.
Yeah, look, it seems clear that the former president is not determined to come before the State Capture Commission anytime soon. I mean, this is what, the fifth, if not sixth, witness, XG, who is implicating the former president, Jacob Zuma, in enabling state capture and having tried to influence them in their senior government positions to do some work or some favors for the Gupta family. And, you know, he's still not coming through to give his version of events, even his side of the story, or even to dispute some of the facts that are put forward by some of the witnesses coming on here. And now, you know, last month when Barbara Hogan was supposed to, start with her testimony, the State Capture Commission heard that the former president was not impressed with the limited time that he was given to go through the statement by Barbara Hogan. But, I mean, this commission was then postponed by a month. So he has had enough time, his legal team has had enough time to go through that statement and see how the former president is implicated. But still, from what has come out of this commission is that the former president will not be coming to give his side of the story, will not be coming through to also dispute any of the facts or any of the statements that are being made by Barbara Hogan. And I guess it's going to be the same case with Pravin Gordhan later this week as well.
Very interesting tactic here by Zuma's legal team. I wonder what other lawyers are thinking about it. And let's come back to Barbara Hogan. What has she been saying this morning?
So far, she's just been detailing, you know, the role that she played as a public enterprise minister, how she was appointed by former President Jacob Zuma in 2009. She's also been going into details about the processes of appointing, you know, board members of SOEs and, you know, CEOs of SOEs, and asking questions about whether or not, you know, there was interference coming from either the president and the African National Congress. And as I just walked out now to speak to you, she was, speaking about the issue of the ANC's deployment committee that is chaired by Deputy President David Mabuza. That committee normally advises on who should be deployed and where. And what Barbara Hogan is saying right now is that, you know, she's sort of questioning how effective that committee is, especially now, given the kind of people that you see being appointed, you know, appointed in SOEs, that are being appointed even in cabinet, and, you know, people that have questionable history, and she's questioning whether it's still as effective as it used to be back in the days when she was still, you know, public enterprises minister. But one of the things that she's made pretty clear is that the deployment committee cannot instruct a minister and say, this is the person you should appoint. So it's available for advisory purposes. So she made that very clear, that it's not like it sits and says, let that person be a board member, let that person be a chief executive. Mm-hmm. And so far, that's one of the things that she's been outlining. I think after lunch, that's when she's going to get into the nitty-gritties of why she was fired, by former President Jacob Zuma, the relationship that she had with the Gupta family, what kind of pressure did they put on her, particularly regarding that route to India, the SAA route to India. So those details we expect to come in the afternoon just after lunch.
All right. For now, Clement, I must thank you very much. Clement Manyathela, monitoring the testimony by the former Public Enterprises Minister, Barbara Hogan. Lots of reports coming through throughout the day, of course, here on this radio station. It's 16 after 12.
Polani Kwala, taking your calls on 011-883-0702.
Quick call from Christopher, who's calling us from Sandton. Hi, Chris.
No, I actually just laughed when you mentioned the statement that Vodacom issued around data.
Yeah.
It is a joke. The situation of data in the country is a joke, and it's serious, right? So I was saying to you, to the lady who answered my call, I've been a Vodacom client for like 10 years, I'm sure now, right? And the only thing I'm seeing is that if I look at my bank statement, the amount of data I buy and pay in a month, these guys need to sort out the data issue. I don't care if they're saying the voice calls or something like that. Data is expensive, and data doesn't last.
Okay, Chris, listen, thank you very much. The line is not even great, hey? So people pay so much money for terrible lines. Christopher in Sandton, thank you for the call. It's quite an interesting related story that we're going to do here, because on one hand, of course, Chris is talking about the need for government to ensure that data prices come down. Now, the telephone companies such as Vodacom will say to you that if we do migration, the DTT, digital migration, and we do it now, and if we did it many years ago when we were supposed to, they would have moved to a spectrum that would make it easy and much cheaper to buy data in South Africa. So, and by the way, that issue then of DTT involves broadcasters such as the SABC and MultiChoice, and we're going to be talking about a finding by the Competition Commission where the two of them are concerned. Stay with us at 17 after 12.
The Kolani Kwala Show.
The Kolani Kwala Show.
On 702.
It is 20 minutes now after 12. And still to come, we'll be talking to an expert a little later on about that statement from Vodacom about the data prices having fallen 16.4% in the 6 months up to September. We'll talk about that with Duncan McLeod, founder and editor of Tech Central. There are a whole lot of other issues as well relating to Vodacom and the announcements that were made this morning. Remember, we spoke last week about how the Vodacom and Telkom have come to a multi-billion rand agreement about the use of infrastructure. There's some more information that came through this morning, and we'll ask Duncan McLeod to talk to us about that agreement between Telkom and Vodacom. It's 20 after 12.
Polani Kwala on 702.
For the curious.
All right, so what about this story? It seems extremely important to me. The controversial channel supply agreement between MultiChoice and the SABC, signed back in 2013, amounted to a merger, and as such, the parties acted in contravention of the Competition Act by not notifying the Competition Commission. The commission said in a statement that it has filed a report with this finding with the Competition Tribunal. This is after the Constitutional Court granted the Commission the right to investigate whether the channel supply agreement constituted a notifiable merger. Let's talk about this and the implications thereof. We're on the line now to Sipho Ngwema, who is Head of Communications at the Competition Commission. Mr. Ngwema, nice talking to you this afternoon. Hello.
Mr. Kwala, good day.
Thank you very much. So this finding was unexpected. And the reason partly why it was unexpected is that this matter has gone through the Competition Tribunal. It has gone through the other structures, including the Constitutional Court. And nobody expected it to come back to the Competition Commission.
Yes, indeed. You must remember when this matter was filed with the Competition Tribunal right in the beginning, we were bypassed by the parties, which reported the matter to the tribunal. Fortunately, it came back to us to say we must investigate it, but we were not allowed to probe it with our investigative powers. That's why they then went to the Competition Appeal Court in Cape Town. From Cape Town, because also Cape Town did not grant us the powers to probe this matter further, it went to the Constitutional Court, which then allowed us to probe this matter further. It overturned the decisions both of the tribunal and the Competition Appeal Court, and then said we should dig deeper, which is what we wanted, because the information before us at the time was not sufficient for us to be able to take a decision.
What new information have you found then that has made you to say this was a notifiable merger?
Subsequent to the Constitutional Court giving us the go-ahead to probe the matter further, we then discovered that we interrogated, in fact, officials both from the SABC and MultiChoice, and new information that we discovered was that MultiChoice influenced the decision of the SABC not to go for encryption. And therefore, in terms of the Competition Act, that constitutes a notifiable merger. And those parties should have come to us when they took that decision so that we could probe the matter and decide whether or not it is a notifiable merger. And therefore, we have now discovered that it is a notifiable merger because, as I said, MultiChoice influenced the strategic direction of the SABC, because MultiChoice is a dominant player in this space, and this has got serious competition implications, and therefore we have gone back to the Competition Tribunal to say this matter must be notified, and we as the Competition Commission, we are going to probe it further in terms of why we were not notified and take it from there.
Interesting. Just in terms of how MultiChoice influenced the SABC, are you able to tell me whether they paid the SABC bribes in order that they take this position? Are you able to tell us how they influenced them?
At this point, you must remember, we're still going to go before the tribunal where we are going to present our facts. However, you must remember that in the beginning, the SABC was for encryption, and later, after interactions with MultiChoice, they changed their positions to be against encryption in terms of their free-to-air channels. And that's the information that we found once we interrogated the matter further, once we interrogated the officials of both institutions. And therefore, we have that credible evidence which suggests that MultiChoice influenced the SABC's direction.
So in other words, a private company influenced a state-owned company to influence public policy. It looks to me a little bigger than just a notifiable issue. It may be an issue of bribery. It may be an issue of collusion.
Other people who have powers and mandate in terms of the other issues that you may suspect may follow that up. But you must remember our mandate, it's competition. And in terms of the act that gives effect to what we do, it's a notifiable measure, and this is why we have gone back to the commission. However, as I said, if there are other people and other entities who would want to probe the matter further, they are free to do so. In terms of our mandate, and this is why we have found the serious issue, as you alluded to, because indeed these are parties in competition, and the other one, as you said, it's a public institution, but we found that they were influenced in terms of the decision that they took, and in terms of the Competition Act, they should have come to us for us to be able to probe that agreement.
Sure, just a final question then. What are the implications of this being a notifiable merger? In other words, what does it do to the SABC? What does it do to MultiChoice?
What we do with parties that have gone on to implement a merger that is notifiable without informing the Competition Commission is to then fine those parties. We have taken this matter to the tribunal, but also we have also involved in other processes of the Competition Commission, in order to make sure that what is the follow-up step in terms of our findings.
All right, Mr. Sipongwe Maleme, thank you very much. He speaks on behalf of the Competition Commission. Thank you very much for that. Thanks indeed for coming on. Let me quickly turn now to William Bird. He's Director at Media Monitoring Africa. William, good to talk to you. Hi.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for having me on the program.
Thank you very much. So we've been trying to get reaction from the two parties concerned, MultiChoice and the SABC. The MultiChoice has sent us this statement. Let me just quickly read it. It says, we have noted the recommendation of the Competition Commission to the Competition Tribunal, which will now hold a hearing into the matter. Our view remains firmly that the 2013 agreement between MultiChoice and the SABC was not a merger, but a standard channel distribution agreement similar to the ones we have with numerous other channels. Suppliers. Both the Tribunal and the Competition Appeals Court have previously ruled that the channel distribution agreement did not constitute a merger. We will make further representations in the process to be conducted. So they're not coming on, but that's what they are saying at the moment. William, how important is this finding by the Competition Commission?
So I think it's very important. I mean, I think it comes on the back, if you're a member, of the Constitutional Court ruling around the powers of the Competition Commission around investigation in particular circumstances. So when you get to this particular decision, they found that it was a notifiable merger on the basis of the issue around control of the SABC's policy decision. And so in as far as it sets a precedent to the public broadcaster and MultiChoice, I guess, in that regard, to say this is no way to behave in future, I think that it's a critically important decision, and certainly one where we know ICASA has said they would have an investigation into this specific deal, and as far as I know, that has been kind of postponed again. And now, with this particular determination, it may be that some of the issues that we don't yet know about might become public.
Sure. It seems to me, and this is what I was suggesting as well a little earlier on, that there may be criminal issues to be investigated here, because this has been out in the open, that people such as Claudio Mutsweneng ended up with millions of rands worth of bonuses. It was all around the negotiations of this master channel agreement, etc. It may be just a bit more than this being a notifiable transaction, but also collusion, but it also may be a criminal matter.
So certainly there may be things that might need to flow from that. But I think that, and look, you know, Mr. Motsweneng's got his hands full with legal cases as things stand. And I have no doubt that there are things around this deal that we've yet to be made clear and open and public. So I think that what is important about this is the precedent that it sets around how entities go around engaging with and how a public broadcaster conducts itself. It's certainly something that we hope will ensure that criminal activities that did arise in the negotiation of this deal will be dealt with appropriately.
All right. William Bird van Armas, thank you very much. Much appreciated. He's director at Media Monitoring Africa. Thanks indeed for your insights into this matter. Maybe you are an expert in competition law in South Africa. What then do you make of the finding by the Competition Commission? It is quite important. I'd like to hear your views, though. Send me a quick voice note, 072-702-1702.
702. Kolani Gwala, 12 to 1.
All right, I'm looking at a lot of your messages on our WhatsApp line, responding to a number of stories that we have covered. Let me just quickly read this one, and this is in connection with the Commission of Inquiry into State Capture. Somebody says, Kolani, I think there's more to follow here. I think the current president must change the terms of reference so we can have a clear understanding about how far the inquiry, like the Nugent inquiry, so we are not left behind. As we know, Zuma was forced to form this commission by the former public protector and the highest court. That's according to Thulani Gwatema. There was a story in Eyewitness News about Aaron Motsoaledi trying to stop ANC branch nominating Gigaba for parliament, and somebody responded to that saying the Gigaba appointment in Polokwane issue. Gigaba said the people who are discrediting him do not want him to stand for presidency. This is a clear step of arrogance displayed by the ruling party, saying to the ordinary voter, whatever dirt we dish out to you, take it and eat, no questions asked. This is a man who is supposed to appear at the Zondo Commission. Why does the ANC like people who are deeply involved in corruption, lack of accountability, best preferred by the ANC? So that's also another message. A quick call from, Marcy Dube. Marcy in Dube, hi.
Good afternoon, XG.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for calling.
I just want to respond to the Vodacom claim about their data.
Yeah.
It's not true at all. You know, I've got a number of friends and my church colleagues and family. Their data just goes, you know, quite surprisingly. Not only that, for the past month, their network was just very, very frustrating.
Oh, okay. Marcy in Dubai, thank you very much. All right, so if you don't know what she's talking about, earlier on this morning, Vodacom revealed that in the 6 months to the end of September, its average data prices were down 16.4%. Falling much faster than its price for voice calls, which showed an 8.5% decrease. But let's check this with Duncan McLeod, who is editor at Tech Central. Duncan, good afternoon. Thank you for your time.
Hi.
It appears as if Marcy and a whole lot of other listeners do not agree with Vodacom here when it comes to the price of its data. It says data in South Africa went down 16.4%.
Yeah, it's a little bit misleading. The figure is correct, but the retail headline tariffs have not come down. But the effective rate of a per megabyte charge on Vodacom's network has fallen by 16.4%. The reason for this apparent discrepancy is that more consumers than previously are consuming data in bundle rather than out of bundle. So the in-bundle rate is lower than the out-of-bundle rate. So the effective price that Vodacom's seeing per megabyte on its network has fallen by 16.4%. But your average consumer who's perhaps already consuming their data in bundle on the Vodacom network hasn't seen a reduction in pricing.
Okay, yeah, it is complicated. It's very technical. But one thing that, and you've alluded to this, is that they're also pointing out that data traffic has shot up.
Data traffic has shot up, and that's going to continue to be the case across all networks for the foreseeable future. We know that that voice calls have flatlined, or in fact have gone into decline. Voice revenues are falling at all the major operators, but the demand now is for data, and the operators are even struggling to keep up. They need access to new spectrum to keep up with demand. But yeah, there's no doubt that the insatiable demand now that the operators have to satisfy is that demand for internet access.
Well, talking about the spectrum, and maybe you might comment on the Competition Commission's finding that the SABC, together with DSTV, did what actually is a notifiable merger. You might want to comment because it affects DTT and that affects the spectrum that these telephone companies require. But before you do so, one of the things that Marcy raised was the quality of the network. Vodacom, interestingly, this morning said its 4G data network now reaches 83% of South Africa's population. But of course, you still have people like Marcy who are saying the network is terrible.
Yeah, I mean, there are independent tests that are done by various organizations that test the quality of drop calls, etc. And the operators claim that they've got those numbers down to small single-digit percentages. But yeah, it's true, especially if you're on the edge of a coverage area, you are going to experience drop calls.
Yeah. Let's come back then to the issue of the spectrum and whether or not there is any fallout that's likely to come out of this Competition Commission's finding.
I don't think it's going to have any impact on the awarding of spectrum by the communications regulator, ICASA, but what the Competition Commission has found is that the SABC and MultiChoice should have submitted their channel supply agreement, which was signed in 2013, and which, by the way, has now expired, to the Competition Commission because of the clause. It gets a bit technically complicated, but there was a clause in there that the SABC agreed that they wouldn't carry any of their free-to-air television channels on an encrypted platform. Now, at the time, there was a massive fight going on between MultiChoice and ETV and others over whether South Africa's digital terrestrial television platform should have encryption. MultiChoice is very much against it. The fight got very, very ugly indeed at a political level. And there was huge fallout around that as well. But the Competition Commission, in short, decided that MultiChoice and the SABC should have notified them about the clause in this agreement. They say it was a notifiable merger. It's now being referred back to the Competition Tribunal to decide where this should go next. But we could see fines being implemented by the Competition Commission if the Tribunal decides to proceed with this.
Sure. Just a quick and final one on this issue again of DTT that I asked about. And I know that you say you don't think it's going to affect it. But the fight around the encryption, non-encryption, some argue delayed the implementation of DTT. Otherwise, we would have implemented it many, many years ago had that not been this fight.
There's no doubt.
Is there no doubt about it?
There's no doubt about that. This fight over encryption went on for many years. I think the bigger problem that we had in the space was that the communications minister was chopped and changed so many times. I think under the Jacob Zuma administration, there was a new communications minister just about every year. Each communications minister had a different view on how this project should go forward, and I think that political instability was the main problem here. But certainly the fighting between MultiChoice and ETV, which was probably helped along by the lack of political direction, there's no doubt about it. It cost us many years in this project.
Duncan MacLeod, as always, thank you very much for your insights. Much appreciated. Editor at Tech Central. At 14 minutes before one, some calls here. Let me quickly hear from Tony. Tony is calling us from Cape Town. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Jolani. How are you?
I'm good. Are you well?
Good. Thanks. Good. Thanks. Jolani, I've got an opinion about the relationship between the service providers, being the cellular operators, and the manufacturers of handsets.
Yeah.
If you phone any of the service providers and complain about your data being chewed up, the first thing they'll tell you is your handset has been configured incorrectly, or your handset is the one that's using up the data. Whereas actually, if you look at BlackBerry, it was forced out of the market by none other than the service providers, because BlackBerry was offering a service that was data lean.
Yeah.
So you see the demise of BlackBerry and the proliferation of manufacturers that are bowing to the dance, the tune sung by the service providers.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you, Tony. Yeah. And unfortunately, what can be done? I mean, we can't bring back BBM, you remember?
No, exactly. They're 6 foot under because RIM has now been bought up by who knows who, I don't know, Huawei, one of them. One of the big guys has bought up the BlackBerry platform. And the BlackBerry platform has just become another data-hungry phone.
Yeah, that's Tony in Cape Town. Lots of other calls. We'll get to them shortly. It's 13 now before 1.
702. Polani's on Twitter at KwalaX.
All right, let me tell you what people are thinking, just based on a whole lot of different views coming through on my Twitter timeline on a variety of issues. I will tell you in a moment some of. All right, Zaki Matebula says, Bra X, but how long can we suffer like this with hashtag Kaiser Chiefs? They're not playing good football. I didn't even want to talk about it. Somebody called Boss Major says, Edgwala X, hi, Xolani. Vodacom data prices are still the highest in South Africa, and I see no price decrease at all. And they're also fast to deplete. That's Boss Major. Natalie, talking about something else that you might have picked up as well, and you may be interested in responding to it. Natalie says, Edgwala X, have you seen the complaints about the disastrous sale of tickets for the Cape Town Sevens at Cape Town Sevens this year? It deserves a segment and questions of accountability. People have had to cancel their flights and accommodation because of no access to tickets via this new system. What on earth is happening with the Cape Town Sevens this year? Are you affected by the disastrous sale of tickets, according to Natalie here? If it is affecting you, give me a quick call. If you're in Cape Town, 021-446-0567, I'll take voice notes as well. 072-702-1702. It is 8 minutes now before one.
Polani Kwala on 702 and Cape Talk.
Did you see that story front page of the Sunday Times yesterday about what's going on with our spies? So, according to the story, a mutiny is brewing in South Africa's top spy agency after the state security minister ordered a re-vetting of all agents in a bid to flush out spooks accused of looting the slush fund of up to a billion rand. The intelligence sources say the re-vetting exercise at the state security agency is a purge targeting spooks deemed loyal to former Director General Arthur Fraser and by extension former President Jacob Zuma. Have you not heard this before here about our spies, that they are just way too politicized and they get involved, particularly in NC politics, very quickly? Let's talk now to Eric Pelser, who is head of ENACT program at the Institute for Security Studies. Eric, a very good afternoon to you.
Good morning, Kolani, and welcome to the listeners.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Much appreciated. Thanks for your time. This story worries me, the story about the mutiny brewing in the state security agency. What have you made of the story? Are you concerned?
Well, I think there's a right to be concerned. I can't talk directly to any knowledge of a mutiny brewing, but the fact that the presidency itself thought it worthwhile issuing a statement in obvious support of the minister who is conducting the review, I think that's an indication of just how serious this crisis may well be.
And again, it seems as if there is this distrust between the minister and some in the state security agency. Apparently, there's this forum. And when things get to that level, what are the likely consequences to security in this country?
Well, I think the consequences can potentially be devastating, but they're certainly not constructive for the rebuilding of a new dawn or the reformation of the public service or even the credibility of our security services. I mean, the SSA has a function to vet all senior officials involved in intelligence, and clearly that's been where one of the problems lie. I think some of the issues around this are precisely around the minister saying there will be a re-vetting process. And the argument, I guess, from those resisting it would be, well, why start with us? Why not start at the very top, where names have been named, some in the public domain, instead of doing us all? You know, for instance, a fairly junior officer would not have had signatory rights over the allocation of monies or finances, but yet may find himself subject to a vetting process which should have been done. But I would have thought that the minister is responding to two issues. The one is obviously a distrust in the capability and the loyalty of current serving officers, and secondly, perhaps a backlog in the vetting that should have been done that hasn't been done. She obviously needs to know who is in there, who she's working with, and where the momentum lies. Is there any possibility or plausibility of making this a professional agency?
Ah, you see, that's the question, though, about whether it's about making it a professional agency or is it also playing politics. And the argument has always been and has been for a very long time now that you find these agencies to be too politicized.
That's without any doubt. And I mean, the very appointment of Richard Ndluli showed that, you know, an unqualified person appointed on the basis of an illegal process will tell you all you need to know about it and what happened from there. So yes, obviously it has been politicized. We are facing an election come 2019. And some of these, and also importantly, you know, the appointment of key individuals into key positions in our public service. For instance, the appointment of the National Director of Public Prosecution, who would be reliant in some instances on crime intelligence around what to go after as, and with the evidence base for that. So the stakes are fairly high in this process, which is precisely why I would imagine the presidency has stepped in.
All right, Eric, listen, thank you for your time. Much appreciated. Eric Peltzer, who is the head of ENACT program at the Institute for Security Studies.
702. Polani Kwala. Email him on xg@702.co.za.
Let's take a quick call from Harold here in Sandton. Harold, hi.
Hi, Polani. Yeah, just on that Cape Town 7th rugby ticket.
Yeah.
My wife and I thought it would spoil our boy because he's going to high school and take him to the Cape Town 7th. And to our amazement, disgusting if I could say, we found out for the 2 days, R3,250 per ticket just to watch the rugby, and those tickets were more expensive than the flight tickets. And I just can't believe it.
Say it again, how much is it, Harold? How much? 3,000?
3,250 for the 2 days.
Wow, that's a lot of money, hey?
That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. Yet at the same time, one's got to admit that it's sold out.
It's sold out?
Really, I don't know where it's. Yep, it's sold out.
Oh, well, I mean, I suppose there's value then.
So it's then difficult to argue, you know, because it's a supply and demand, but it's still ridiculous to go and watch two games, 2 days of 7-7 rugby for R3,250. That's more than the flight.
Wow, Harold and Santon, thank you very much. Listen, so maybe we'll pick up on this tomorrow, on this issue of the tickets for Cape Town Sevens, because I've got one or two other messages on my Twitter timeline just raising concerns about it. Maybe we'll get the relevant people to comment on it. But I must thank you very much for listening to the show then. We're back again tomorrow.